This is CBS correspondent Mike Anderson on the scene where just about an hour ago a spacecraft landed no more than about 30 feet from where I'm standing. We're moving very slowly, very cautiously, trying to get up close, see if we can get our microphones in and listen to what appears to be a dialogue between General Anthony Myers and the grotesque creature that stepped out of the spacecraft.
See, I've come to Earth in peace. This is good. Have you come to learn about the people of Earth, our culture, our languages, our science and medicine?
We have come to listen to Boxcar 7-Eleven Old-Time Radio Car.
Well, there you have it. No need for alarm. Just goes to show you the extremes that some people will go to just to listen to the Boxcar 7-Eleven Old-Time Radio Pod. And it really doesn't matter whether you're some creature from an outside planet or just some poor earthbound schlup. Just type in your browser, boxcar711.podomatic.com or boxcar711.libsyn.com. That's LIBSYN. And hey, when you get there, you'll see what the whole planet is talking about. The Boxcars 7-Eleven Old Time Radio Pod, where the oldies are still young.
This is the NBC Theater. From the NBC Theater in Hollywood, an hour-length drama based on the John Dos Passos novel, Manhattan Transfer. The dramatization by Ernest Canoy of NBC, with a recorded intermission commentary on the writings of John Dos Passos by Dr. Harvey C. Webster, director of Education by Radio courses at the University of Louisville. John Dos Passos has long been one of America's most vigorous experimenters in literary techniques, and Manhattan Transfer is certainly one of his most glittering experiments. It is, in a real sense, a literary mural rather than a story, with many unrelated characters caught in action against the background of New York in the early 1920s. It is impressionistic, a documentary broadcast distilled from the Manhattan of the period by a brilliant poet-journalist. And this is it, Manhattan Transfer by John Dos Passos.
Three gulls wheel above the broken boxes, orange rinds, spoiled cabbage heads that heave between the splintered plank walls of the ferry slip. The green waves spume under the bow as the ferry, skidding on the tide, crashes slowly into the slip. Gates fold upwards. Men and women press forward through the wooden funnel of the ferry house into Manhattan, crushed and jostling like apples fed down a chute into a press. About Ellen Thatcher.
That you, Ed?
I brought you some flowers, Susie.
Ed, they're jack roses. You shouldn't have.
Well, a fella doesn't have a daughter every day. Say, you think the nurse will let us hold the baby?
I hate her, Ed. She gives me the fidgets, that woman does. Nothing but a mean old maid.
Oh, never mind, dear. It's just for a day or two. Say, do you still want to call her Ellen?
Yeah, here you are, Mrs. Thatcher. Here's the baby.
Hey, look. Look, they oiled her. How can you tell them apart, nurse?
Sometimes we can't.
Well, you're sure this is mine?
Of course.
But it hasn't any label on it. I'm sure mine was dark.
Now, she has lovely little fuzz. Same color as your hair.
It's not mine. It's not mine. Take it away. That woman stole my baby.
Susie, for heaven's sake, Susie.
It's not mine. They stole my baby.
Oh, that's too bad. I'll have to give her a sedative.
Take it away. It's not mine. They stole my baby.
Yes, sir. Yes. My wife just had a little girl.
No, yeah. I had a boy.
Really?
Well. How about having a drink on it?
Well, sure.
Two kumbaka, imported. Right. My name is Shuka, Morris Shuka.
Well, I'm Ed Thatcher. Here's your beer.
Well, here's how, Mr. Thatcher. I'm hoping that when my boy drinks to his boy, it'll be champagne. Hey, Mr. Thatcher?
You gotta have big money to raise kids. Yes, sir.
Yeah?
Now, I want my girl to be a quiet, homey girl. Not like these young women nowadays. Yeah, you gotta save to provide.
It ain't no use in saving. I saved 10 years, and then the bank went bust. Left me nothing but a bank book. Get a close tip and take a chance. That's the only system.
Yeah, a man that's ambitious got to take chances.
I'm gonna call my girl Ellen. After my mother.
Ellen. That's a lovely name. I'm going to call my boy Wilhelm after the Kaiser.
Huh?
Well, goodbye, Mr. Thatcher. Nice to know you. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, I gotta get along.
Hey, you. How about settling for the beer?
Well, didn't the other fellow pay?
In a pig's eye.
But he was treating me.
I guess that guy really believes in saving. Come on now, pay up. That was imported beer.
Steel. The city of steel. There were Babylon and Nineveh. They were built of brick. Athens was gold marble columns. Rome was held up on broad arches of rubble. But here, steel, glass, tile, concrete will be the materials of the skyscrapers. Crammed on the narrow island, the million-windowed buildings will jut glittering, pyramid on pyramid, like the white cloud head above a thunderstorm. In the newspapers, 1905, relieve Port Arthur in the face of the enemy. Russo-Japanese War goes on.
Why doesn't Ed come home with Ellie? Never a minute's peace. Oh, Lord, why don't Ed come home? I'm sick. It's cruel to leave a sick woman alone like this. Selfish. Oh, if I could get to sleep.
Mommy! Mommy! Mommy!
Please, Ellie, please. I've got an awful headache.
Mommy, I want to be a little boy.
Quieter, dear. Mother's not feeling well.
I want to be a little boy.
Ed, what have you done to the child?
Oh, we just been to see Peter Pan. Maude Adams was fine. Real poetic.
I said before it was silly to take such a little child to the theater.
Oh, Daddy, I want to be a boy.
Well, I like my little girl the way she is. We'll have to go again, Susie, and take you.
Ed, you know very well I won't be well enough. Oh, I wish I'd die. I wish I'd die and not be a burden to you anymore.
No, Susie.
You hate me, both of you.
No.
If you didn't hate me, you wouldn't leave me alone like this. I wish I'd die.
No, Susie, for heaven's sake, it's wicked to talk like that. Susie, please, please stop.
I don't care. Ellie's going to be a boy. Ellie's going to be a boy. Ellie's going to be a boy.
All along the rails of the steamer, there were faces. In the portholes, there were faces. Leeward, a stale smell came from the tubby steamer that rode at anchor with a yellow quarantine flag drooping from the foremast.
Look at them immigrants. I'd give $1 million to know what they came for.
Just for that, Pop, $1 million? It's a land of opportunity.
One thing I do know. When I was a boy, it was the wild Irish came in the spring with the first run of the shad. Now, there ain't no more shed. And them folks, Lord knows where they come from.
Oh, what's the difference, Pop? They're here. It's a land of opportunity.
Yes, sir, Ellie. Just look at that liner, huh?
Daddy, what do people do all the time on a boat?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose they walk around the deck and play cards and read and that sort of thing. Then they have dances.
Dances on a boat?
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't it be awful tippy?
Well, that's what they do on them big modern liners.
Daddy, why don't we go on one?
Well, maybe we will, if I can save up some money.
Daddy, why aren't we rich?
Oh, there are lots of people poorer than us, Ellie. You wouldn't like your daddy any better if he were rich, would you?
Oh, yes, I would, Daddy.
Huh? Well, it might happen someday.
Oh, look at that big boat. That's the boat I want to go on.
That's the Herrivik.
Oh? Oh, is it really?
Indeed it is, sir. Yes, sir. The Herrivik. One of the biggest afloat. I signed a steward on many a boat like that. But now, in my old age, they've laid me off.
Mm. Oh, well, we all have hard luck sometimes.
Well, some of us has it all the time, sir. This country ain't no place for an old man. It's for the young and the strong it is.
Daddy, let's go away. I don't like this man.
All right, Ellie, we'll go take a look at the sea lions.
You couldn't find me the price of a cup of coffee now, could you, sir? Just a nickel. That's all an old man needs.
Well, all right. Here.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. God bless you, sir. Thank you, sir.
But, Daddy, Mommy said never to let people speak to you in the street, and to call a policeman if they did, and to run away as fast as you could on account of kidnappers.
No danger they're kidnapping me, Ellie.
When I grow up, will I be able to talk to people on the street like that?
No, dear, you certainly will not.
If I'd been a boy, could I?
Well, I guess you could.
Look at that boat, Daddy. There are an awful lot of people coming here, aren't there?
Yep, there sure are. Decks are black with people. I wonder where they all...
There's a steamroller clattering back and forth over the street in the twilight. Dark presses tight the steaming asphalt city, crushes the fretwork of windows and lettered signs and chimneys and water tanks and ventilators and fire escapes and moldings and patterns and corrugations and eyes and hands and neckties into blue chunks, into black enormous blocks. Night crushes bright milk out of the arc lights, squeezes the sullen blocks until they drip red, yellow, green into streets resounding with feet. All the asphalt oozes light. Light spurts from lettering on the roof, mills dizzily among wheels, stains rolling tons of sky, and the steamroller clatters on, forming the city.
Manhattan transfer, change for Trenton, Philadelphia, Washington, Manhattan transfer.
Well, here we are, Ellie, dearest.
Please, don't call me Ellie, John.
I'm sorry, dearest.
Why did we stop?
Well, we're at Manhattan Transfer. You see, O Prince's daughter, we get the train at Penn Station, then it switches over here in the wilds of Jersey.
You're funny, John.
We're off, little girl.
I'm 18.
18. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Thou art fair. Thou hast dove eyes within thy locks.
Is that from your show, John?
It came to me. Why are you looking away, Ellie? Elaine?
I don't know, really. My new kid glove is split. My new suit is tight at the elbows. The wheels rumble, don't they? Listen. Manhattan transfer, Manhattan. It's a long time till we get to Atlantic City. I'll feel better then. I got to. I'll feel gay then.
Elaine Thatcher Oglethorpe. Oh, that's a very fine name, isn't it, darling? Oh, stay me with flagons. Comfort me with apples. For I am sick of love. You're my wife now, Elaine.
You're my husband now, John.
Oh, thou art fair. Thou art fair, O daughter of my heart. What's the matter, Elaine?
John, let me past you.
What's the matter?
I want to go to the washroom. I think I'm going to be sick.
Jimmy Herf, eating lunch with his Uncle Jeff.
Look around, Jimmy. What do you think of it?
It's a fine club, all right.
Wealthiest, most successful men in the country eat lunch here. Look at that table in the corner. Man with the powerful jaws, J. Wilder Laporte.
Really?
Yes, sir. Well, Jimmy, you probably know why I brought you down here. I'm the executor of your poor mother's will, and I want to explain how things stand. You're 16, aren't you, Jimmy?
Yes, sir.
Now, this is the way it stands. We've got enough money to see you through Columbia, since you insist on going to Columbia. Your Aunt Ellie and I would rather see you go to Yale or Princeton, but... At your age, I was sweeping out an office down on the street. It's thrift and perseverance that... Well, what I advise is for you to work your way up through the firm. And James, don't forget this. If a man's a success in New York, he's a success. Well, what are you going to make of yourself?
Whatever you say, Uncle Jeff.
Does that mean you'll work in my office for a month? Get a taste of business, huh?
I suppose so, Uncle Jeff.
Well, I think you've come to a very sensible decision. Now, my boy, what do you say to dessert? Whatever you want, but I suggest the eclair. Yes, sir, the eclairs here are the best in the city.
Morning clatters with the first L train of Allen Street. Daylight rattles through the windows, shaking the old brick houses, splatters the girders of the L structure with bright light. Men and women stir under the blankets and quilts on mattresses in the corners of rooms. Clots of kids begin to untangle and kick. At the corner of Rivington, the old man with a hempen beard, who sleeps, where, nobody knows, is putting out his pickle stand amid the rancid clangor of the cobbled awakening street.
Ruth Prynne! Prynne! Guy to see you.
What's your name?
Jimmy Herf.
It's Jimmy!
Okay. And he said, Margie, I got a crush on you so bad.
Come on up, Jimmy. Don't mind me if I look terrible.
Shall I bring the milk?
You can come in if you promise not to look. I've just got to do up my hair.
Why don't you theater people get up at a decent hour?
Well, how about you newspaper people? How's the cub reporter?
I'm on Hell's Kitchen. Got a job yet?
Oh, something ought to turn up this week. Sometimes I think I'll go to bed and just stay there till the end of the world.
Poor old Ruth. You know, I haven't been as sorry for anybody since I quit college than I was sorry for me.
Jimmy, you're crazy.
Maybe, but I'm also very hungry.
Oh, what time is it?
Well, it's after 1.
I thought it was about 10. Oh, Jimmy, I forgot to tell you. I went to see Al Harrison, the producer, yesterday. If I hadn't got to the phone and threatened to call the police...
Hey, look at that funny woman across the air, Chef. She's got a face like a llama.
It's because of her I have to keep my shades pulled down.
Why?
Oh, you'd be shocked, Jimmy.
Let's get out of here, Ruth. The sun is shining outside and people are going home from church to overeat and read the Sunday paper amid the rubber plants.
Jimmy, you're a shriek.
What ho, Miss Prynne? What news today,
huh? Nothing, Jojo. Jimmy, this is Mr. John Oglethorpe. He lives down the hall. Jimmy Herf.
Oh? Herf. In Atlanta, there was an old family of Herfs.
Not the same.
Ah, yes. At one time, Hosiah Herf and I were boon companions. Today, sir, he is president of the First National Bank of Scranton, Pennsylvania. And I, a mere mountebank, a thing of rags and patches.
Jojo, come back in here.
Yes, my dear. Poor dear Elaine, she needs her rest, so...
Jojo!
Coming, dear.
What the devil was that?
The Ogle? Oh, he comes out of his lair every once in a while.
Is that lovely girl with the copper hair his wife?
Well, Elaine Oglethorpe does have reddish hair. She's not so darn lovely, either. She made some kind of a small hit in that musical Peach Blossom.
It's a shame she's got that for a husband.
Ogle's done everything in the world for her. If it wasn't for him, she'd still be in the chorus. Strange fish, Jimmy. Strange fish.
Let's get out of here, Ruth, huh? Come on.
Oh, if you'd ever let me get dressed. Go on, sit down. Read the paper or something. I'll be ready.
Well, Elaine, about time you showed up.
I'm sorry, George. I didn't mean to keep you waiting. Been busy?
Yes. I've been digging in some cases. Have some pastry with your tea?
I think so. Lemon, please.
Really?
But, my dear, it's always the same old complex. It may be true of men, but it says nothing about women.
Your feminism rises into an insuperable barrier. What if I am an egoist? Heaven knows I've suffered for it. Now,
why so silent? How's the famous Jojo?
Oh, let's not talk about him.
Less said about him, the better.
Now, George, I won't have you sneer at Jojo. For better or for worse, he is my husband, till divorce do us part. No, I won't have you laugh. You're too crude and simple to understand him anyway. Oh. Jojo's a very complicated and rather tragic person.
Well, for heaven's sake, now don't let's talk husbands and wives. The important thing, little Elaine, is that you and I are sitting here together without anyone to bother us. Now look, when we can see each other again, huh? Really see each other, really.
We're not going to be too real about this, are we, George?
Oh, I have so many things to say to you. I want to ask you so many things.
Is that the way you act when you've got some miserable sinner in the witness box? I thought it was more like, where were you on the night of February 31st?
But I'm dead serious, and that's what you can't understand. Or won't.
George, there's a young man standing behind you.
Huh? Oh. Well, hello, Stan. Where the dickens did you come from?
Look, Mr. Baldwin, I know it's awfully rude, but may I sit down at your table for a second? There's somebody looking for me who I just can't meet.
Miss Oglethorpe, this is Stanwood Emery, son of the senior partner in our firm.
Oh, it's so wonderful to meet you, Miss Oglethorpe. I saw you last night, but you didn't see me.
Did you go to the show?
I almost jumped over the foots. I thought you were so wonderful.
Well, how's college, Stan?
Oh, I guess it's still there. I wish they'd burn it down before I get back. Well, I guess I can go now. You must excuse me, Mr. Baldwin. My intrusion was infernally rude. Please forgive me, Miss Oglethorpe.
Can't make out that infernal young puppy. Poor old Emery's heartbroken about it. He's darn clever. He has a lot of personality, all that sort of thing. And all he does is drink and raise cane. Guess what he needs is to go to work and get some sense of values. Too much money is what's the matter with most of these college boys. Oh, but thank heavens, we're alone again. Elaine, I've worked continuously since I was 14. And the time has come when I want to lay aside all that for a while. I want to live and travel, think, and be happy. I want to learn to play. Ease off the tension. Now, that's where you come in. Oh, let's go out in the country somewhere this evening. I've been stifling in the office all day. I hate Sundays anyway.
But my rehearsal...
You can be sick. I'll phone for a car.
Oh, golly, there's Jojo.
What?
Just came in. Hello, Jojo.
How do you do, my dear? Well, this is indeed a surprise and a pleasure.
You know each other, don't you? This is Mr. Baldwin.
I do. Forgive me if I intrude on a tete-a-tete.
Nothing of the sort. Sit down and we'll all have a highball. I was just dying to see you, really, Jojo.
Really?
By the way, if you haven't anything else to do this evening, you might slip down in front for a few minutes. I want to know what you think of my reading of the part.
Certainly, my dear. Nothing would give me more pleasure.
No, waiter. Three scotch highballs, please.
Confidence, Mr. Baldwin.
Hmm?
Confidence between husband and wife is a very beautiful thing. Space and time have no effect upon it. Were one of us to go to China for 1,000 years, it would not change our affection one tittle.
You see, George, what's the matter with Jojo is that he read too much Shakespeare in his youth. I've got to go now.
Oh, may I take you to the theater?
I never let anyone take me anywhere. Jojo, you must... stay sober to watch me act tonight. Bye, both of you. Jojo, behave.
Miss Oglethorpe? Miss Oglethorpe!
Oh, Mr. Emery.
I waited around to see you come out. Can't I take you somewhere?
Well...
please?
I'm just going up to the theater. I've got a rehearsal.
Well, let me take you there.
All right. An awful imposition on you.
It was awfully rude for me to butt in that way, wasn't it? But that's another story. I'm Stan. The forge name is Dingo. But that's another story, too.
Still, it's nice to meet somebody humanly young. There's nobody humanly young around New York.
Oh, I'm too blasted young. Uh-oh. There goes my muffler. Dropped off. We'll probably get arrested. Hope we get put in the same cell. Rings on her fingers, bells on her toes, elephants to ride upon my wild eyes.
Noon on Union Square. Selling out. Must vacate. The sign in the store window. We have made a terrible mistake. Kneeling on the dusty asphalt, little boy shines shoes. Low shoes, tans, button shoes, Oxfords. The sun shines like a dandelion on the toe of each new shine shoe. Right this way, buddy, mister, miss, ma'am. At the back of the store, our new line of fancy tweeds. Highest value, lowest prices. Gents, misses, ladies, cut rate. We have made a terrible mistake. Must vacate. Noon sunlight spirals dimly into the chop suey joint. Muted music spirals Hindustan. He eats fuyong. She eats chow mein. They dance with their mouths full. Slim blue jumper squeezed to black slick suit. Dark curls against dark slick hair. Highest value, lowest price. Must vacate. We have made a terrible mistake. Must vacate.
Stan, there's somebody.
Down the hall.
I thought it might be Jojo. It'd be just like him to come sneaking around.
Ellie, I don't understand how you're going to live with him. You're so lovely. I don't see you in all this.
It was easy enough before I met you. And honestly, Jojo's all right. He's just a peculiar, very unhappy person.
But you're out of another world, kid. You ought to live on top of the Woolworth building. In an apartment made out of cut glass and cherry blossoms.
How do you get so sunburned, Stan?
I guess it's left over from last summer.
Jojo's white, like a dead fish.
The crowd loud to talk about him. Look, Ellie, let's beat it out and have a drink. I'd hate to run into somebody now and have anyone.
Danger. Nobody ever comes home here before 12. I'm just here because I've got a sick headache.
Ellie, do you like your sick headache?
I'm crazy about it, Stan.
Ellie, let's go out and get drunk. Let's do something crazy. Come on, let's go out and get a drink. That's what we need.
Yes, sir, Jimmy. A strange fish. Pass the salt.
Sure. Ruth, why do all the ham actors in the world live at your place?
Protective coloration. Boy, did you miss the goings-on yesterday. It was a shriek.
Yeah?
Everybody was out in the hall. The landlady was crying.
Well, come on, spill the dirt.
Well, there was Mrs. Sutherland crying and fainting into the arms of a strange gentleman in a dress suit. And Jojo Oglethorpe was brandishing a revolver. A little nickel one, you know, like a water pistol. The only one who looked in their right senses was Elaine Oglethorpe. You know, that Titian-haired vision that so impressed your infant mind.
Oh, no, it wasn't as bad as all that.
Well, at last Oglethorpe got tired of his big scene and cried out in ringing tones, "Disarm me or I shall kill this woman." So I grabbed the gun.
You did?
And Elaine Oglethorpe, now, just as if she was taking a curtain call and said, "Well, good night, everybody," and ducked into her room, cool as a cucumber.
What next?
Well, Ogle banged on the door a few times. Then he went upstairs to Tony Hunter, rolled his eyes like Forbes Robertson in Hamlet, and said, "Can a broken man crave asylum for the night?"
Why did she marry him?
That girl would marry a trolley car if she thought she could get anything out of it. Half the people wanted the Oglethorpes thrown out of the house. Well, Jimmy boy, order up another bottle and a good steak. Little Ruth will enlighten you as to the goings-on in the wicked, wicked world. Jimmy, you're too naive. Look out for that trunk.
Don't worry, lady. I got it tied down good. Where to?
Hotel at 5th Avenue and about 8th Street.
Okay. Well, from the trunk, I thought you was catching a train somewheres.
I am going away somewhere.
It's a fine day for going somewhere.
I'm going away for my husband.
Huh? Did he throw you out?
No. I can't say he did that.
My wife threw me out about 3 weeks ago.
How was that?
She locked the door when I come home one night and wouldn't let me in. Had the lock changed while I was working.
That's a funny thing to do.
Yeah, she said I get slapped too often. But I ain't going back to her. I'm through. Getting an apartment on 22nd Avenue with another guy, and we're going to get a piano and live quiet and love the dames.
Matrimony isn't much.
You said it. What leads up to this, all right, but getting married, that's like the morning after. You want I should go to the park, lady? Or down 8th Avenue and across 34th?
The sun's moved to Jersey. The sun is behind Hoboken. Covers are clicking on typewriters. Roll-top desks are closing. Elevators go up empty, come down jammed. It's ebb tide in the downtown district. And the newspapers, pink sheets, full market reports, final race results. Print squirms among the shop-worn office faces, sore fingertips, aching insteps, strong-arm men cram into subway expresses. Senators ain't, giants too. It's ebb tide on Wall Street, flood tide in the Bronx. The sun's gone down in Jersey.
Hello, Stan. Where did you come from?
Murphy, my old bosom companion. I am tight as a drum.
That's no novelty.
Oh, I was just giving a weather report. Say, have you got a drink or a bathtub?
Of course there's a bathtub. What do you want with it?
Well, I
want
to take a bath. Hold my shirt.
Hey!
Why do I go on leading this miserable existence in this city? Lead me to the bathtub.
Here, you better take off your hat, Stan.
Now, I knew I forgot something. I got Ellie outside. Come in.
Stan, Jojo's here. He's coming up the steps. I won't see him. Jimmy, you make him go away.
Where's that bathtub?
Isn't there a closet or something here?
Another room if you want to.
Get rid of him, will you, Jimmy?
Oh, bathtub. All ready for a bath and no tub.
Caught red-handed. In flagrante delicto. Flagrante delicto. It was not for nothing the intuition led me to this place.
Now, look at Jojo.
The cabaret porter, the paid harlot of the yellow press. I read and keep silent. But I am one of the silent watchers of the press. But I know. I know.
Look, Mr. Oglethorpe, maybe you had better...
The fountain of national life is poisoned at its very source.
You tell him, kid.
I should prefer to be the meanest stagehand that sweeps the boards than to be a paid purveyor of journalistic filth.
Look, you better go home. Elaine's not here.
Yippee!
I shall go into the great night.
Well?
It's starting to rain outside.
You better go home while you can still stand up.
Go. My blood will be on your head forever, Elaine. Forever, do you hear me? Into the night where people don't sneer and laugh, I go forever.
Everybody's loaded.
Isn't this the darkest fool business? Terribly sorry, Jimmy.
Oh, he must have fallen downstairs. Well, it's been nice seeing you.
I'm afraid we better stay, Jimmy. Stan passed out.
I'll be...
Come on, Stan. Come on. We've got to get you to bed. Come on.
They pair off hurriedly. Standing up on the roller coaster, strictly forbidden. The climbing chain grates, grips the cogs. Jerkily, the car climbs the incline out of the whirring light, out of the smell of the crowds and the steamed corn and peanuts. Up, jerkily grating up through the tall night of September meteors. Then, the swoop. The sea does a flip-flop. The lights soar. Hair in his mouth, his hand in her ribs. The wind of their falling has snatched their yells. They jerk rapidly upward through the tangled superstructure. Swoop, soar, bubbling lights in a sandwich of darkness and sea. Swoop. Keep your seats for the next ride.
From Hollywood, the NBC Theater is bringing you a radio version of Manhattan Transfer by John Dos Passos. If you're interested in supplementing your enjoyment of these NBC Theater productions with home study under college supervision, be sure to listen to the announcement at the close of our program. And now, our intermission commentator, Dr. Harvey C. Webster.
When you get around to reading Manhattan Transfer, you will surely find it intriguing, but you may find it a little perplexing, too. Your trouble will be, if you don't know his other fine books, that you will expect a conventional novel centered around a single character, or at any rate, only around a few. But John Dos Passos, although he often suggests depths he does not choose to explore, is not so much interested in individual characters as he is in the pattern the collected lives of many characters make. So, in his excellent war novel, The Three Soldiers, he tried to write about all kinds of soldiers, not just the officers and the rare heroes. He tried to show the pattern many men at war make. So, in USA, his most ambitious and longest novel, he tried to get all of America from 1900 to 1929 on paper and in the speech of the people. So, in Manhattan Transfer, he tried to give you the feel of all of New York, of all its peoples and buildings, of all its day life and night life, to give you a pattern that is New York. I say trying, for I don't think Mr. Dos Passos always succeeds, or that he ever completely succeeds any more than Shakespeare does. Brilliant as they sometimes are in insight, brilliant though they always are in technique, Mr. Dos Passos's novel about the Spanish Civil War and The Grand Design, his too bitter novel about the New Deal, are failures beside his earlier, better books. But in these three, USA, The Three Soldiers, and Manhattan Transfer, he has performed as magnificently as any novelist of our time and country. Once you have read these novels, Crisfield, Andrews, Jimmy Herf, Ellen, Ed Thatcher, Congo Jake, J. Ward Morehouse, Mac, Daughter, I name from his characters quite at random, these people become part of your consciousness, of your illuminated perception of what it is like to be a 20th century American. This dramatization, I hope, will send you to, or back to, the books themselves. Mr. Dos Passos is the inventor, or at any rate the perfecter, of the collective novel that tries to make artistic sense out of the collected lives and places and situations involved in important segments of modern life. He writes beautifully. It takes good forgetting not to remember his portraits of Debs and Steinmetz, his description of Crisfield killing his lieutenant, of Hulls Above the Ferry Slip in Manhattan. He has been imitated widely by Americans, both North and South, by Frenchmen, by Russians, perhaps even by some Chinese. What he deserves is more readers in this country. I hope that you will become one of them.
Thank you, Dr. Webster. Our radio version of Manhattan Transfer will continue from Hollywood after a brief pause for station identification.
Red light. A block deep, four ranks of cars wait at the grade crossing. Fenders in taillights, motors purring hot, exhausts reeking. Cars from Babylon and Jamaica. Cars from Montauk, Port Jefferson, Patchogue. Roadsters from Great Neck. Cars full of asters and wet bathing suits, mouths sticky from sodas and hot dogs. Green light. Motors race. Gears screech into first. Cars floor towards the city that stands up incredibly into the night sky like the glow of a great lit tent, like the yellow tall bulk of a tent show.
Goodness, Miss Elaine, you're late. It's 8:15.
Come on, Stan. You wait outside while I get dressed for the show.
Oh, no, I wouldn't think of it. I'll be quiet like a little mouse.
We'll have to hurry, Miss Elaine.
Where's that bottle?
You better sober up, darling.
I'm going to drink till when I cut myself, whiskey runs out. What's the good of having blood when you're going to have whiskey? I'm going to lie down and go bye-bye.
Don't, Stan, for heaven's sakes. If you go and pass out in my dressing room, I'll never forgive you.
It's getting late, Miss Elaine.
Stan, you've got to go away.
I want to go bye-bye.
I could put him in the shower and turn cold water on him.
How's our house tonight, Molly?
Pretty thin. Oh. Suppose I put him in the bathroom, Miss Elaine. Nobody will notice him there.
That's it. Let him go to sleep in the bathtub.
I got to go bye-bye. So sleepy.
Come on, get his arm, Millie.
Yes, I'm
come good. On, Stan.
Bye,
come
bye,
on.
Bye, bye, bye.
I got
bye,
him now.
Bye.
There he is. Look up for that faucet.
Bye, oh. Bye, bye. Oh,
he's a sleepy baby when he's like this.
15 minutes.
Oh, I'm going to be terrible tonight.
Here's your dress, Miss Elaine. Now, don't mess your hair.
Let me have the cold cream, Millie. I look awful.
Here's some. You look lovely, honey. Oh. You always do.
Listen, Millie, the water. Oh, no.
Sailing,
Stan.
Sailing over the
Stan, get out of that tub, you idiot. You fool, you fool.
Get out, that hurts.
Now, you get up out of it. You're soaked.
Why, so I am.
I'll get the water off, Millie.
Yes, my goodness. Well, I'll stand outside so nobody can come in, Miss Elaine.
You just can't get mad at him. That's what makes him so exasperated. Are you sober yet?
Sober as a penguin.
Stan, you just stop, King. It's getting beyond a joke.
Why shouldn't things get beyond a joke?
But, darling, you'll kill yourself.
Well?
I don't understand you, Stan.
Understand you, Ellie. But I know I love you very exorbitantly much. Ellie, you're not sore at me.
Oh, of
course not, child. Now, I've got to get ready. I'll be late for the first act curtain. Honestly, Stan, you're precious.
Such afternoons, the buses are crowded into line like elephants in a circus parade. Morningside Heights to Washington Square, Penn Station to Grant's Tomb. Parlor snakes and flappers, joggle-hugging downtown, uptown hug-joggling, gray square after gray square, until they see the new moon giggling over Weehawken and feel the gusty wind of a dead Sunday blowing dust in their faces. Dust of a tipsy twilight.
So it's all over, Jimmy. I've got my divorce from JoJo.
Have any trouble?
Nothing but the 5 statutory questions.
Well, in a way, I'm sorry to hear it, Ellie.
Well, I'm fond of JoJo. He's a very fine person in lots of ways. It had to be.
I suppose so.
You know, I really asked you to take me to dinner so I could dig out the truth about Stan.
Yeah, I know.
I can't find him anywhere, Jimmy. I'm scared.
Well, he'll turn up here if he's in town.
I turned down a star part today, Jimmy. In Goldweiss's new production.
The Zinnia girl?
He offered me a run of the play contract. But I want to be free for Stan.
Oh.
Jimmy. There he is.
Oh, he sees us.
Hi, Ellie. Oh, Jimmy Herf. How are you?
Hello, Stan.
Oh, I need a drink. This stuff's wearing off.
Hello, Stan.
I've been on the most extraordinary trip. Honestly, you should have come. We went to Montreal, and we came back by Niagara Falls. And never drew a sober breath from the time we left little old New York till we got arrested on the Boston Post Road for speeding. Did we, Pearline? Oh, I forgot. Ellie, this is Pearline.
How you do?
Pearline. Isn't that a fine name? I almost split when she told me what it was.
Now, Stan,
oh, but you don't know the joke. We got so tight in Niagara Falls that when we came to, we found out we were married. And we have pansies on our marriage license.
Good night, Stan.
Oh, come on out with us, Ellie. We're going to a party.
No, Stan. Good night.
Oh, we're going to a party. We'll get drunk, Pearline. Real drunk. Going to a big, beautiful party.
The leaden twilight weighs on the dry limbs of an old man walking towards Broadway. Round the Nettick stand at the corner, something clicks in his eyes. Broken doll in the ranks of varnished articulated dolls, he plods up with drooping head into the seethe and throb, into the furnace of beaded letter-cut light.
I remember when it was all meadows, he says to the little boy.
Oh, monkey, he got drunk and stepped on the elephant's trunk. The elephant sneezed and fell on his knees, and that was the end of the monk. The monk. Oh, sure thing. I need another drink. Oh, I am a bachelor, and I live all alone, and I work at the weaver's trade. No, I'm not. I'm a married man. I'll fight anybody who says I'm not.
Dad, you better know.
Never enough. Oh, the monkey, he got drunk, and sound the elephant's trunk. Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me $5.
Where's that guy?
Oh, he's drunk as a skunk. Throw him out of here. He ain't one of the
boys. Throw him out. Get rid of him.
One more river. That's the River of Jordan. One more river. Oh, Locke won't stand still.
Caught it.
One more river to cross. I am Stanwood Emery, and I feel fine. Only a little delicate. One more river to cross. Oh, I need some coffee. That's what Stanwood Emery needs, coffee. Oh, not on the stove. Just turn on the gas. Whoops. Something smells funny. Burning. Something's burning. Scotland's burning, Scotland's burning, fire, fire. I gotta pour on something. Kerosene. Wonderful stuff. Up she goes. Oh, I spilled it all over. All over Stanwood Emery. Oh, I gotta light a match. Hey, buddy, you got a match? Won't light. to wet. Careful. Careful. There she goes. Nice little light. Nice little light. Wonderful light. One more river, that's the river of Jordan. One more river to cross.
You look a little pale, Ellie.
Yeah, it was hot in that restaurant. Thanks for walking me home, Jimmy.
Feel better?
Lots.
I'm glad, Ellie.
You know, you're the only person around here that calls me Ellie. I like it. Everybody tries to make me feel so grown up since I've been on the stage.
Stan used to.
Maybe that's why I like it.
Things sure are rotten. I wish I could blame it all on politics or something.
It's pleasant walking like this. I love a fog.
But at least you have a career. You like your work.
Don't say that.
But it's true, huh?
It used to be. Before I met Stan. Before I loved him. Married at 18. Divorced at 22. I didn't understand. But Stan was so wonderful. And then he had to die.
Things are lousy. They're crazy.
Jimmy, you're the only person left I can really talk to.
Don't trust me. I might go berserk on you someday.
Look, Jimmy, I might as well tell you. I'm going to have a baby. Stan's baby. I'm going to give up all this silly life. Theater and all. And raise it.
Ellie, that's the bravest thing I ever heard of a woman doing. Ellie, you're wonderful. If I could only tell you what
no,
I...
No, Jimmy, don't. We're home now.
Well, Ellie, I want to say something
no,
to you.
No, Jimmy, not now. I'll see you tomorrow.
Wait a minute, Ellie, wait. Everything's rotten.
There are flags on all the flagpoles on Fifth Avenue. The war is over, and in the gale of flags and brass bands and trampling horses, shadows like the shadows of claws grasp at the taut flags. The flags are hungry tongues, twisting, licking, curling. The harbor is packed with zebra-striped, skunk-striped, piebald steamboats. The narrows are choked with bullion. They're piling gold sovereigns up to the ceilings in the sub-treasury. Dollars whine on the radio. All the cables tap out dollars. Down Fifth Avenue, the bands blare for the Liberty Loan Drive. Hospital ships sneak up the harbor and land furtively at night at old docks in Jersey. The great flags flap and tug at their lashings on the creaking gold knob poles up Fifth Avenue.
Got the baby?
He's all okay. Hasn't made a sound. Here, Ellie, let me take that bag. We'll be getting ashore soon.
There goes the gangplank. There's Ruth!
Hey!
Oh, come on, there goes the gangplank. Come on, Jimmy.
Give me the small bag,
Ellie. Look at it, it's got the baby's things.
Elaine, darling, you look wonderful.
Ruth, you didn't have to meet us.
Miss it.
Hello, Ruth.
Jimmy, darling, when I heard you two were married, I just cried. Oh, is that the baby?
He's asleep now. Better leave him be.
Customs here. Passport, please.
Oh, here you are. Mr. James Herf, wife and infant.
All right. Your bags will be examined and ready soon. Customs here.
I'm glad that's over.
You don't know about prohibition, do you, Jimmy?
I don't. Why do you think the baby's so heavy? I got a quart of brandy wrapped up with him.
Jimmy's got another quart and a hot water bottle strapped around his middle. Come on, let's get to the hotel before it eats through the rubber.
The trouble with prohibition is it's too hard to keep sober.
A nickel before midnight buys tomorrow. Hold up headlines. A cup of coffee at the automat, a cigar, and on 6th Avenue and 14th, there are still fly-spec stereopticons, where for a nickel, you can peep at yellowed yesterdays. Behind the peppering shooting gallery, you can stop into the flicker A Hot Time,
The Bachelor's Surprise, The Golden Garter, Wastebasket of Torn Up Daydreams. A Nickel Before Midnight Buys Our Yesterday.
Ellie?
I'm home. How's the story going?
Lousy. I won't finish it in time for the Sunday edition.
What's the matter?
I don't know. Seemed like a natural, bootleggers and hijackers, but it doesn't work out. How is work?
Exhausting.
Ellie, I hate to see you in that job. You should keep on with your acting, not be shut up in a lousy office.
Jimmy, we've got to live.
I know. You certainly didn't have your wits about you when you married me.
Let's not talk about it. How's the baby?
Asleep. You can smell the sour milk all through the house.
We should have another room. I brought a bottle of wine. We'll have to eat in a hurry or you'll be late for work.
Oh, the old man said I might get off the night shift pretty soon.
Jimmy, I wanted to talk to you about that. Don't you think we ought to get another place now that you're working nights all the time?
You mean move?
No. I was thinking if you could get another room to sleep in, then nobody'd ever disturb you in the morning.
But, Ellie, we never see each other. We hardly ever see each other as it is.
Well, it's terrible, but what are we going to do when our office hours are so different? I'll put supper on.
All right. All right, just as you like. Ellie. Well, Ellie, I'd like to grab onto you till you hurt.
Did you say something, Jimmy?
Never mind. I got a corn on my toe.
Your shoes are too tight.
My shoes are too tight. You're crying, Herf. You're feeling particularly sorry for yourself. You've got corns. Ellie.
Jimmy, what are you doing here?
Ellie, I've got to talk to you.
I thought you were at your room.
Listen, I've got to talk to you.
Are you lit, Jimmy?
Let me in.
Are you sober?
Well, I know what I'm saying.
I'm terribly sleepy.
I want to talk to you.
Well, not too loud, then. The baby just dropped off.
Ellie, I don't know why it's always so difficult for me to speak out about anything. I always have to get drunk to speak out. Look here. Do you like me anymore?
You know I'm always very fond of you.
I mean love. You know what I mean, but whatever it is.
I guess I don't love anybody for long. Unless they're dead. I'm a terrible sort of person. There's no use talking about it.
I knew it. You knew I knew it. Well, things are pretty rotten for me, Ellie.
Are you really so crazy about me, Jimmy?
Look here. Let's get a divorce and be done with it.
Don't be in such a hurry, Jimmy. And there's the baby. What about him?
Well, I can scrape up some money for him sometime. Poor little kid.
I make more money than you do, Jimmy. You shouldn't do that yet.
No, don't I know it.
Well, Jimmy?
I'm tired. I'm going home. We didn't think it would all go pop like this, did we, Ellie?
Good night, Jimmy. But things don't end. I'm awfully sleepy. Will you put out the light on your way out? I'm awfully tired.
The young man without legs has stopped still in the middle of the south sidewalk of 14th Street. He wears a blue knitted sweater and a blue stocking cap. His eyes, staring up, widen until they fill the paper white face. Drifts across the sky a dirigible, bright tinfoil cigar misted with height, gently prodding the rain washed sky and the soft clouds. The young man without legs stops still, propped on his arms, in the middle of the south sidewalk of 14th Street. Among striding legs, lean legs, waddling legs, legs in skirts and pants and knickerbockers, he stops perfectly still, propped on his arms, looking up at the dirigible.
You are, Mr. Good stuff. Right off the boat.
Pango, here's my last paycheck. Cash it?
Yeah, you can't, Mr. Herr.
No more job. Life is upside down, and I'm a fly walking on the ceiling of a topsy-turvy city.
Sure, mister.
What if I bought a gun and killed her, huh, Congo?
Who? Your wife?
Passing fancy. Another spring, Congo. In Yonkers one spring, I buried my boyhood. In Marseille, with the wind in my face, I buried my calf years. Where in New York shall I bury my 20s?
Fill her up again, mister.
Mm-hmm. I am beginning to learn a few of the things I don't want. The pursuit of happiness. Congo, I admit I'm stumped. I'm walking round and round a skyscraper and I can't find the door. Congo, where's the door?
The door?
Never mind. I have a choice. Go away in a dirty soft shirt or stay in an arrow collar. What is the use of fleeing from this city of destruction? There's nowhere in particular I want to go. I wait. I wait for my wife to serve the papers.
You getting a divorce, Mr. Hurt?
Women are rats. They leave a sinking ship. Here I am, almost 30 years old and very anxious to live. If I were sufficiently romantic, I would have killed myself long ago just to make people talk about me. I haven't even got the conviction to make a successful drunkard.
Mister, you talk too much.
That is entirely possible, Tango.
Did you read in the paper about that man in Philadelphia who was killed because he wore his straw hat on the 14th of May?
If I was starting a religion, that man would be a saint.
You know how it is. Nobody wears a straw hat before the 15th. Well, this guy wears his on the 14th. Somebody busted it through the way they do, and he started a fight. Got conked with a piece of lead pipe.
What was his name?
I didn't notice. He died in the hospital.
The unknown soldier. The golden legend of the man who would wear a straw hat out of season. St. John Doe of Philadelphia, who wore a straw hat out of season. Give me liberty or give me death, said Patrick Henry, putting on his straw hat on the 1st of May. Congo, I am going down to the ferry.
Sure thing. Take care of yourself. Here's your change.
Three gulls wheel above the broken boxes, orange rinds, spoiled cabbage heads that heave between the splintered plank walls of the ferry slip. The green waves spume under the bow as the ferry, skidding on the tide, crashes slowly into the slip.
Hi there. You with the wagon.
Yeah?
Will you give me a lift?
Why, jump on. Hurry, the ferry gate just opened.
Gates fold upward. Men and women press forward through the wooden funnel of the ferry house away from Manhattan, crushed and jostling, like apples fed down a chute into a press.
Thanks for the lift, mister.
How far you gone, bud?
I don't know. Pretty far.
You have been listening to Manhattan Transfer, an NBC Theater production of the John Dos Passos novel. If you wish to increase your knowledge and appreciation of literature, we suggest that you might enjoy the college-supervised courses now being offered in connection with the NBC Theater. For full information, write to NBC Theater in care of one of the following universities or colleges: University of Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky; University of Tulsa, Tulsa, Oklahoma; Kansas State Teachers College, Pittsburgh, Kansas; Washington State College, Pullman, Washington; University of Arizona, Tucson, Arizona; Texas College of Arts and Industries, Kingsville, Texas; Brooklyn College, Brooklyn, New York. You also have a chance to win a set of the famous Encyclopedia Britannica. Several of the universities and colleges offering these courses are giving the encyclopedia as prizes to the students doing the best work. Enroll in a supervised course, and you may be one of the fortunate ones to win the Encyclopedia Britannica. Be with us next week at the NBC Theater for a production of Thornton Wilder's enchanting novel of the last days of Caesar, The Ides of March, and the following week for Robert Penn Warren's At Heaven's Gate. Manhattan Transfer was adapted for the NBC Theater by Ernest Canoy. Our intermission commentator was Dr. Harvey C. Webster of the University of Louisville. In today's cast were Gain Whitman, narrator, Ann Diamond as Susie, Don Randolph was Ed, Gail Bonnie Millie, Nestor Paiva was Zucker, Ann Whitfield was Ellie, Bruce Payne was the old man, Paul Freeze was John, Georgia Ellis was Ellen, Stephen Chase the uncle, William Lally was Jimmy, Marjorie Hunt was Ruth, Larry Dobkin George, Lee Millar was Stan, Eddie Fields the cabbie. Your announcer, Don Stanley. The director of the NBC Theater is Andrew C. Love. This program came to you from Hollywood. What's on NBC today? Today, you hear the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show and The Adventures of Sam Spade, two great programs for Sunday on NBC. There's a laugh a minute today on the Harris Faye Show, and there's thrills and chills when Sam Spade relates his latest caper. Your best listening today is on NBC, so stay tuned here. Next, hear America's favorite, One Man's Family, on NBC.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.